Today's daf is Yevamis Daf Lamed, and we are at the Mishnah, at the very top of Daf Lamed Amar Aleph. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refua Shalemer for Avadi Ben Miriam Leia, Moshe Abba Ben Devora, Devora Bas Mecha, Shmu Ben Tehila, Elazar Lipa Shalom Ben Feger Rachel, Sar Nechama Bas Rus Malka, Baruch Ben Rachel, Malka Miriam Bas Esther, Shlomo Ben Rachel Devora, Tova Malka Bas Masha, and Azriel ben Kayla, and Esther Kreindel bas Devorah. Today's daf is being learned as a schus for Sarah bas Margalit, that she shall find a shidduch hagun bekarev, and today's daf is being learned for Ilui Nishmas, Rivka bas Yitzchak. So we're moving along in the very Yevamis digedafen in Perek Arba Achen. The topic of all the sugyas up until this point has been where there's a Yibum situation, but what's unique is that two sisters fell a Yibum. Now, obviously, if two sisters fell a Yibum, it means that two brothers died. Because although two women can fall a Yibum from one brother, but not two sisters, because one man can't marry two sisters. So obviously, any Yibum situation that involves two sisters falling the Yibum is going to involve, at the very minimum, three brothers. In some cases, like in the first case of the Perek, even four brothers, regardless. Today's Daf Lamed, has five Mishnayos, so that's unique. We're going to learn four of them. The fifth one is going to be the beginning of tomorrow's Daf, and all four Mishnayos are very, very similar. They all deal with real Yevamis cases. All the cases feel a little similar, but there's nuances that make them very, very different. It's another Daf that requires one to really halt cup. What's interesting is that it's a Yevamis daf, but not a lot of Chidushim, because a lot of the Yesoidis that we're going to see, although they're real Yevamis Yesoidis, but we've seen them already. So today's daf is going to be really a microcosm of a lot of the Yesoidis, Mesechtes Yevamis. So without any further introduction, Zokta Heilu Gemishta, Shloisha Achen, there were three brothers. Shnayim Mehem Nesum Shtei Achayis. Two of them were married to sisters, Reuven and Shimon. Ve'echa Nasui Nachris. And the third brother, Levi, was married to a Nachris, not a non-Jew, but was married to a Jewish woman that's not sisters with Reuven and Shimon's wife. So again, there are three brothers, two of them are married to sisters. Meis echel mibalei achayos. If one of the brothers that was married to one of the sisters died, in our case, it's always Reuven. V'kines nasui Nachris es ishtai. So when Reuven dies, Reuven's wife falls liyibum. Shimon is married to Reuven's wife's sister. As a result, Reuven's wife is an Achlis Ishtoi. She doesn't fall Yibum to Shimon. Levi's married to the Nachris. So Reuven's wife very much does fall Yibum to Levi. So Levi was really the only Yavam that was able to do Yibum. In the Mishnah's case, he did Yibum. Umeis. And then Levi died. So that now Levi's two wives are falling Yibum to Shimon. The one wife of Levi's that's falling to Shimon is Levi's wife that he's been married to for a long time, who's not related to Shimon's wife. The other wife of Levi that's falling liyibum to Shimon is the woman that was originally Reuven's wife, that Levi was miyabim, who's Shimon's wife's sister. In other words, of the two Yevamis that are falling liyibum right now to Shimon, one is Achris Ishtoi, Reuven's original wife, and the other one is the Nachris. She's the Tzaris Achris Ishtoi. So says the Mishnah, what's the halacha? It's very pashut. It's the first halacha of the Masechta. Harishayna, Reuven's wife, Yoytze Mishum Achris Isha, doesn't fall liyibum because she's Shimon's wife's sister. She's your classic Achris Isha. Ushniya, and Levi's own wife, who's the Nachris, also doesn't fall Yibum Mishum Tzarasa, because she's not an Achris Isha, but she's a Tzaras Achris Isha. Very simple. Asa b'maimer. What would be if after Reuven died, when Reuven's wife fell Yibum to Levi, Levi didn't do Yibum, but rather Levi did Maimer. So Levi did Maimer to Reuven's wife, and he's married to his own wife, Umeis. And then Levi died. So that these two women, again, are falling liyibum to Shimon, Levi's wife, who he's married to in a regular way, but also Reuven's original wife, who Levi has now done maimer to. So the halacha is, Nachris chayletzes v'loy misyabemes. The Nachris, who's Levi's wife, Shimon would do chalitza to, but would not be able to do yibum to. Why? Shimon can't do Yibum to her, because being that Levi did Maimer to Reuven's wife, so through the Maimer, Levi's real wife is an Achis Isha. She's an Achis Isha, you can't do Yibum. But at the same time, Maimer is not Koine Kinyan Gomer. We don't pass like Beis Shammai. We pass like Beis Sol that Maimer is a quasi Kinyan. So if it's a quasi Kinyan, so to the extent that Maimer was not Koine, it comes out that Levi's wife is not a Tsaras Achis Isha. So on the tzad that Maimer's Koine, so Levi's wife is a Tsaras Achis Isha, so Shimon can't do Yibum. But on the tzad that Maimer's not Koine, so Levi's wife is not a Tsaras Achis Isha, she requires Yibum. So what do you do when you have to do Yibum, but you can't do Yibum? You do Chalitza. And that's why the Mishnah says that as it relates to the Nachris, the din is going to be Chaletzes for Loi Mesiyab Demes. So really, the Mishnah is not such a Chiddush. What the Mishnah is telling us is the halacha of Erva, that's Pater Min HaChalitza Min HaYibum. The halacha of Tzores Erva, that's Pater Min HaChalitza Min HaYibum. We knew those two halachas 10 minutes into Masechtas Yevamos. It's literally the very, very first line of Masechta. The Mishnah is also telling me that Maimer is a quasi-Kinyan. That's something that we've seen throughout the Masechta as well. It's the focus of a Machloikis, Bishamai and Bezil. Bishamai says it's Koina on a legitimate way. According to Bezil, it's only a quasi-Kinyan. And really, all the Mishnah is saying is that in the event that there's an Erva or a Tzores Erva that falls the Yibum, this is going to be no Yibum, no Chalitza. So if, however, the Tzaras Ervas through Maimer, so on the Tzad HaMaimer's Koine, the Tzaras Erva is a Tzaras Erva. On the Tzad HaMaimer's not Koine, it's not a Tzaras Erva. And as a result, what do you do with the Tzaras Erva? You do Chalitza, you don't do Yibum. Says the Gemara Dir. Time of the Ova Ba Maimer. It sounds like the only reason the halacha is that when Levi dies, Shimon has to do Chalitza with Levi's wife is because Levi did Maimer. Referring to the Seifa of the Mishnah. So again, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. Reuven and Shimon are married to sisters. Levi's married to an Achris. Reuven dies. Reuven's wife doesn't fall the Yibum to Shimon because she's an Achris Isha. She falls the Yibum to Levi. The Mishnah says that if Levi would do Maimer and then Levi would die, so Levi's wife, who's the Tzaras Achris Isha, Al Yedei Maimer, Shimon would have to do Chalitza too. He wouldn't be able to do Yibum. What would be in the same exact case? But Levi never did Maimer. So Reuven died, and then before Levi had an ability to do anything, Levi ended up dying. It sounds like in that case, it sounds like then if Shimon would want to do Yibum with the Tzaras Erva, meaning if Shimon would want to do Yibum with Levi's wife, he would be allowed to. Why? Because why not? Levi only has one wife. His wife, that's a Nachris to Shimon. Reuven's wife, Levi was never Miyabim. Levi never even did Maimer to. So there's no connection between Levi's wife and Reuven's wife. There's no Tzatzara Servo. And as a result, the Gemara makes a diak. It's Poshit from the Mishnah that the halacha would be that if Shimon wants to do Yibum with Levi's wife, he would be able to. Right, the Mishnah mentioned two cases where Shimon could not be Miyabim Levi's wife. In the first case, Levi already did Yibum with Reuven's wife, so that Levi's wife is a regular Tzara Servo. In the second case, Levi didn't do Yibum, but at least he did Maimer. So Yidei Maimer, Levi's wife is a shtickle, a quasi tzaras erva. But if Levi did nothing, then it's pashut, it's going to be okay. Oh, but the Gemara says it's really not so pashut. You know why? Rav Nachman says, oh, you say Maris, you know what you can deduce from the Mishnah ain't Zika, that there's no Zika, v'afil b'chadacha, even when there's only one brother. Why? Because if Yesh Zika, Rav Nachman tainit, that even if Levi does nothing, Levi's wife should be a tzaras erva, al yedei Zika. Because when Reuven died, Reuven's wife was zakuk to Levi. Only Levi, because to Shimon, she's an Achis Isha. So it comes out that Levi has a wife. He also has Zika to Reuven's wife. Reuven's wife is an Achis Isha to Shimon, which would then make Levi's real wife a Tzaras Achis Isha to Shimon. And from the fact that the Mishnah says that if Shimon wants to be Miyabim, Ashes, Levi, in that instance, that's a raya in Zika. And Rav Nachman said, you see from here, in Zika, even when there's one brother. And just to be clear, what do you mean one brother? There's two brothers. I thought it was Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. After Reuven died, Shimon and Levi are both alive. That's true, but there's no Zika between Eishes, Reuven, and Shimon, because Eishes, Reuven, to Shimon is an Achis Isha. So Rav Nachman said, you see from our Mishnah, Ein Zika v'afil b'chadacha. The Gemara ends this discussion right here, but the Gemara is going to revisit it on the bottom of the Yomid. So we'll hold the thought for now. Snuck the Mishnah weiter. Another case, a very similar case. Shleish Achen with three brothers. Two of the brothers were married to two sisters, Reuven and Shimon. There was a third brother, Levi, who was married again to a woman that's not sisters to the other two women. What happens if Levi dies? So in the previous Mishnah, who died? Reuven died. One of the brothers that were married to one of the sisters died. In this Mishnah, it's Davka, the brother that's not married to the sister. It's the Nasui Nachris. It's Levi that dies. Okay, V'kines Echem B'Balachayis Eshtoy. And then Reuven, what's Or Shimon, we'll say Reuven, did Yibum with Eshes Levi. Now in this case, Reuven or Shimon were able to do Yibum, because Levi's wife was a Nachris, so she's not an Achris Isha, not a Reuven and not to Shimon. Reuven went ahead and Reuven did Yibum, Umes, and then Reuven died. So Reuven now, when he dies, his two wives fully Yibum. Who are his two wives? One of them is Shimon's wife's sister, and the other one is Levi's wife, the woman that he was Miyadim. Says the Mishnah, very Pashit. Shimon is the only brother that's alive right now. He has these two women that are falling Yibum. He goes to a Rav. He asks the Rav, what's the halacha? The Rav says, very Pashit. Harishayna, yeitzim isham achis isha. Reuven's original wife is going to be an Achris Isha. There's no Yibum v'chalitza, the Shniya. And now Levi's wife, Mishum Tzarasa, she's going to be a Tzaras Achris Isha. As a result, Shimon's going to have no mitzvah of Yibum. Also by Mayim Romes. What would happen if after Levi died, Reuven didn't do Yibum with Levi's wife? But like in the previous Mishnah, what Reuven did was Maimer with Levi's wife. So it comes out that Reuven now is married to his wife, regular, but also Ayyidei Maimer married to Levi's wife, which means that through Maimer, Levi's wife is a Tzaras Erva. So says the Mishnah. Then, if Reuven dies, so now Shimon is the brother that wants to do Yibum. Nachris Chayletzes V'loy Mesiyabemes. Obviously, Reuven's wife is a regular Achisi, she can't do Yibum Chalitza. But even the Nachris, even Levi's wife, you would have to do Chalitza. Why? Because she's a Tzaras Erva Ayyidei Maimer. Now, the truth is, this Mishnah that we just learned is almost the identical case to the first Mishnah that we learned, right? These two Mishnahs are very, very similar. What's the difference? The difference is that in the first Mishnah, Reuven died, and in the second Mishnah, Levi died. But at the end of the day, it's really the same thing. And really what the Mishnah is saying is that a Tzaras Erva doesn't fall Yibum v'chalitza, which we already knew from the Mishnah on Daf Beis, and that at Tzaras Erva al Yedei Maimer, the Halach is going to be Chaletzes v'loy Mesiyabemes. Afreit the Gemara, Asul Amali, Hainu Hach. Why does the Mishnah have to tell me this Halach again? Isn't it the same exact case in the Mishnah? It's not the same case. In the first case, Reuven died, and in the second case, Levi died. But at the end of the day, it's the same point, right? Same difference. If there was a Yibum, so there's a real Tzaras Erva, so there's no Yibum v'chalitza, and if all there was a Maimer, that it's going to be Chaletzes v'loy Mesiyabemes. Why the Mishnah have to tell me the same thing? And the Gemara asks it with a little bit of a punchline. The Gemara asks it as a kal v'chaymer. Ma hasam, ma doch in the first Mishnah, the achis isha have a tzara l'nachris, where the achis isha is a tzara to the nachris amrit nachris asura. Hach over here, the nachris have a tzara l'achis isha. Over here where the nachris is the tzara to the achis isha, like kol shekein, then certainly this should be the halacha. So what does the Gemara mean to say? The Gemara is asking that not only are the two cases the same, but the truth is, mikal v'chaymer, once I know the first case, I would know the second case. And the Gemara is talking specifically to the Maimer part of the Mishnah. Right, both Mishnayos had a case where there's a regular Tzaras Erva, and then the Sefer, the Mishnah, was talking about where there was a Tzaras Erva Yedei Maimer. And in both cases, both Mishnayos, the Mishnah said that the Tzaras Erva Yedei Maimer, the Halach is Chayletzes, the Loi Misiyabemes. Now, what was the real difference between the first case and the second case? Exactly. We said in the first case, Reuven died, and the second case, Levi died. But you know what that means? That means in the Maimer part of the Mishnah, when Reuven died, so Levi was the one that did Maimer, so Levi did Maimer to the Achris Isha. He was married to the Nachris, who's the Tzaras Achris Isha. In the second Mishnah, Levi's the one that died, Reuven did Maimer to the Nachris, who's the Tzaras Achris Isha, and is married regular to the Achris Isha. Now, if the Mishnah said in the first case that if the Achris Isha is only an Achris Isha al Yidei Maimer, it's enough to say that the Tzor is going to be Chayletzes V'loy Mesiyabemes, the Gemara holds Kal V'chomer if the Achris Isha is a regular wife and the Tzor is the Tzor al Yidei Maimer, that the halacha should be chayletzes v'loy mesiyabemes. And the reason it's a kal v'chomer is because whenever you have a tzaras erva, what's the siba for the ptur yibam on the tzaras erva? It's the erva. So if the erva is only al yidei maimer, it's a bigger chiddush than if the erva is a regular marriage and it's the tzara That's the tzara al yedei maimer. So Tainas the Gemara, not only hasulamali, once I know the first case, I should know the second case, but b'tairas kal v'chaymer, when I know the first case, I should know the second case. Because madach in the first case, where there's a situation of tzara erv al yedei maimer, but the maimer was done to the erva, still we say that even though the siba is only al yedei maimer, but it's enough to say chayletzis on the tzara erva. So kal v'chaymer, where the maimer was done to the tzara, but there's a regular nesu'in to the erva, that should be enough to say that chayletzis v'loy misyabemis on the one that you did maimer to. That's the Gemara's cash. And for the Gemara, with a little bit of history. Tana hach tana bereisha. Really, the Tana, the Mishnah, when it sat down to learn the sugya, so it only wrote the second Mishnah. In fact, the Tana, the Mishnah, thought that the first case is going to be mutter. Meaning, only when there's a regular nesu'in to the erva do you say that if there's a maimer to the tzara's erva, she's going to have a din of chayletzis v'loy misyabemis. But in the case where the regular nesu'in is to the tzara and you only have maimer to the erva, that's not going to be enough. In fact, the Tana thought it's going to be mutter. V'sharya, and therefore never even wrote the first Mishnah. Then the Tana did an about face. The Tana said, you know what? Bashkof shnia, I disagree. I think the loch in the first case, even when the maimer was done to the erva, is still going to be chaylatzis v'loy misyabemes. And once the Tana realized that, he had such a chavivus in it, because it was such a big chiddush, right? We know this, that wherever the Tana has a chavivus in something, so he always wants it to be first. So akhtama. So he decided, let me put that first Mishnah first. Now the truth is, once the Tana put that first Mishnah first, he didn't need the second Mishnah. Because number one, hasul amali, it's hainuhach. And not only hainuhach, I know me kavachaymer. Again, madach the maimer to the erva, kavachaymer if there was a regular nesu'in to the erva. Abu Mishnah lois azamim kaimer. Once the Tana Mishnah had already stated the second Mishnah, he said, let me stick with the second Mishnah. And that's why we ended up having two Mishnayas. In other words, a little long-winded. But the bottom line is, it's a good Taino. Once you know the first Mishnah, you know the second Mishnah. So why do you need the second Mishnah? You don't. But the second Mishnah had been stated at a time when I didn't know the first Mishnah. Then I needed the second Mishnah. Then it was the only Mishnah in town. So then I had to have it. Okay, but once I said the first Mishnah, was not chabin the tzveita Mishnah, Mishnah lo yizazim kaima. Then how did the second Mishnah chronologically become the first Mishnah on the Amid? Should it not have been fakert? Because it's a svar of I did the chaviva le'akdama, and that's how all the pieces fall into place. Vakol yavay al mekayim b'shalom, as we segue into the third Mishnah. Zok the Hilig Mishnah again. Me inyan le'inyan, very very much. But isayo inyan. Shloisha achin with three brothers. Shnai mem nesuin shteichayis, two of them were married to sisters. Ve'ech nasui nachris, and one of them was married to a nachris. One of the two brothers that were married to one of the sisters died. Reuven. And Levi did Yibum. Levi was the only one that was able to do Yibum. And Levi did Yibum. Again, Reuven and Shimon are married to sisters. Levi's not. Reuven dies, no children. Shimon can't do Yibum because she's an Achis Isha. So who does the Yibum? Levi does the Yibum. Fine. After Levi did the Yibum, Umesa Ishtoi Shel Sheini. This is a new wrinkle. Shimon's wife then died. Shimon's wife. And then Levi died. Now that Levi died, Levi's two wives fully Yibum. Who are Levi's two wives? Levi's original wife, she's the Nachris. And Levi's wife, that he was Miyabim, that used to be Reuven's wife. Now, who are these two women falling Yibum to? Reuven died, Levi died, the only brother alive, the last man standing is Shimon. So these two Yivam is now fully Yibum to Shimon. Now, when Reuven's wife fell Yibum to Shimon in the beginning of the Mishnah, years earlier, Shimon couldn't do Yibum because she was an Achis Isha. But you know what happened in the interim? Shimon's wife died. And the only time there's an Erev of Achis Isha, this is unique, it's the only Erev in the Torah, is Bechayel, if the other sister is alive. But if someone's married to a woman, she dies, then he's allowed to marry her sister. In this case, Shimon's wife died already. So now that Levi died, so Levi's two wives fully Yibum, the Muschel Rishon would be, oh, one is an Achis Isha and the other one's a Tzaras Achis Isha. But it's not true. That was true in the first Mishnah, but it's not true in the third Mishnah. You know why? Because in the third Mishnah, Shimon's wife is not alive anymore. So if Shimon's wife is not alive anymore, she's not a Tzaras Erva. So what's the halacha now? Zok the Mishnah, Tzaras Erva. Zok the Mishnah, nothing changes. Harezu Asura Olav Olamis. The halacha is that Shimon is not going to be able to be Miyabim, Levi's wife that was originally Reuven's wife. And if that's the case, he won't be able to be Miyabim, Levi's wife that was the Nachris either. Because being that in the Nefila Rishoina, the first time Levi's wife Feli Yibum, meaning when she was Reuven's wife, she was an Achas Isha. So there's a halacha, once she's Aser, Sha Achas, she's Aser Olamis, and it's for that reason she becomes Aser in the Nefilah Shnia, so even though she's not Aser in the Nefilah Shnia. Why is she not Aser in the Nefilah Shnia? Because now Shimon's wife's not alive anymore. So now she's not an Achas Isha, but it doesn't matter. Being that she was an Achas Isha when Reuven died, she remains an Achas Isha when Levi died. And if she remains an Achas Isha when Levi died, the other wife, the Tzara, is a Tzara's Achas Isha, and therefore says the Mishnah, Rezu Asura, Olav Olamis, Hayav Nasr, Olav Shahachas, and this is what we know as the halacha of Nasra. What does Nasra state? That if a woman falls liyibum, and at the time that she falls liyibum, she's not oil liyibum, even if the circumstances change, so that at some point in the future, now she is oil liyibum, it doesn't matter. Hayovas, the Nasra of Shahachas, she remains asr forever. Now the Gemara is going to start with a kasha. You know what the kasha is? This idea of Nasra is Yevamis 101. It underpins all the lamdas of Masechtas Yevamis. It's also known as Rav's memra. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Nasra. L'chur, it's a Mishnah. Rav in Amoira had to teach me something that's a Mishnah. Nasra we know as Rav Shita. Now all of a sudden we discover it's a Mishnah. Mamish, a Mefurish Mishnah, and Daflamidin tucked away in the middle of all the Gishmak Mishnayis in Perakar Bach. It's a freak to Gemara. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Rav Yehuda said the name of Rav. Call Yevamah Shein Ani Kerev Bashasli Fili Yevamah Liyavah Yaleh. Any Yevamah that when she falls the Yibam, there's no mitzvah Yibam. I cannot declare on this Yevamah the mitzvah, the Torah, the verse, the commandment of Yevamah Liyavah Yaleh. Harehi Keshesach Sheish Labanav Asur. The halacha she never becomes. What circumstances could change. It doesn't matter. Freak to Gemara. Why would Rav have to teach me that? Tonino, we just learned the Mishnah. Reizu Asura Olav Olamis. Hayav Nasr Olav Shachas. Isn't it a Mefurish Mishnah? Zok Dumar, it is. However, Rav was telling me a Chiddush in Nasra that I wouldn't have known from the Mishnah. Meaning, the concept of Nasra, after further review, is not Rav's Chiddush. It's the Mishnah. The Mishnah says the words. Harezu Asura Olav Olamis. Hayav Nasr Olav Shachas. The Mishnah said the word Nasra. I thought it was Rav's Chiddush. Dumar says no. Rav was saying a Chiddush in Hilchus Nasra. He wasn't being mechadish the institution of Nasra. He was being mechadish a tifkeit, a knetcha Nasra. Okay, what was Rav being mechadish? Because now the time I would have thought, without Rav's chiddush, that hani mili, when do you say Nasra? You know when you say Nasra? If a woman falls liyibum, and throughout that nefilu rishayna, she was always awesome. Like in the Mishnah's case. Reuven died, his wife was an achas isha to Shimon. Throughout the entire Nefila. The Nefila ended when Levi did Yibum. When Levi did Yibum, she was still an Achas Isha. Oh, then Levi died. And by the time Levi had died, she was no longer an Achas Isha. Over there you say Nasra. Maybe. Because over there, Reuven's wife was never Mutter. But what would be if a woman falls the Yibum? And Lechatchila, right out of the gate, she's Aser. But then something changes. During the Nefila itself, something changes. So for example, what would be if Shimon's wife would have died before Levi did Yibum? Ema Tishteri. I would have thought in that case, you don't say Nasra. Kamash Malon. That's why I needed Rav to tell me that even in that case, you say Nasra. So you're right. Rav is not being Mechadish Nasra, but he's Mechadish this halacha that you say Nasra, even if the Yavama is Ichazyullah bin Nefila Rishet. But the Gemara says, Anami Tanina. That's something I know from a Mishnah as well. Not our Mishnah, but a Mishnah in two Dafin. So in two Dafin, we're still going to be learning the same sugya. Shnei Achin Nesuin. There were two brothers that were married to two sisters. Meis Achmei, one of them died. So two brothers were married to two sisters. In this case, it's not Arbachim, it's two, not Gimelachim, it's two Achim. Two brothers were married to two sisters. One of the brothers died. So now the Achis Isha falls Liyibim. He can't do Yibim. What happens if that brother, let's call him Shimon, his wife dies? So says the Mishnah, Rezu Asru Olav Olamis. It doesn't matter, he still can't do Yibim. Hayav Nasra Olav Shachas, because she was also. So what do you see? You see Nasra. Not only do you see Nasra, but even if she was a Chaz, and this Nefila, she became mutter. And still the halachas you say Nasra. So I don't need Rav to teach me that either. The Gemara says, I hear. No, Rav still needed to teach me Chiddush. Because Mal Tema, I would have thought, Hasam over there, the Idchola Mehai Beis Alagami. It's true in that Mishnah, the Mishnah on the Aflamid Beis, the woman became mutter during the Nefila. But in that case, when she fell and she was Aser Lagamri. You know why? Because there was only two brothers. That's a unique case for Arbachan. There were only two brothers. And being that there were only two brothers, and the one surviving brother was married to this woman's sister, so it comes out there was no one that was able to do Yibam. So I would have thought, said Rav, that in that case, where Enochinami, she was a Chazya during the original Nefila. But when she fell, she was Nitcha Lagamri, because there was no one else to do Yibam. So over there you say Nasra, over here, the Yitcha Lamahai Beis Lagamri. But in our Mishnah, there were three brothers. And being that there were three brothers, when Reuven died, although Reuven's wife was an Achas Isha to Shimon, but not to Levi, because Levi was married to the Nochris. So you would have thought, Eima Migad Chazya, I would have said a migu, interestingly, but I would have said that being that Reuven's wife is mutter to Levi, so maybe she should be mutter to Shimon as well. You shouldn't say Nesra, Kamashmul and Rav, that you say Nesra. So the Gemara says that Rav, we know, is the Mara, the Shmait of the Aloch of Nesra. He's the one that said, Kol Yavamash Inani Kerba Bashasli Fili Yavam Yavayala, Hareke Shesach Shalman of Asura. But after going through our Gemara, a few lines of Gemara, what emerges is that Rav was not Mechadish, the institution of Nesra. To say that would be a mistake. In fact, we have two Mishnais in Shas, where you see the concept of Nesra. We have our Mishnah Daf Lamed, we have the Mishnah Daf Lamed Beis. What was Rav's Chiddush? Rav was being Mechadish, a Knech in Nesra. Specifically, as Knech was, that what would happen if a woman fell a Yibum? She was Usur at the time that she fell a Yibum. Then she became Mutter during that Nefila. And when she fell, although she was usher to one of the brothers, but there was another brother that she was mutter to. So when she fell, she wasn't nitcha legamri. And during the nefila, she even became mutter to the one person that she was usher to. So ichvolt gewolt meinen, in that case, zicher you don't say nasra, because it doesn't conform with the very technical nuances, not of the Mishnah Daflam and not of the Mishnah Daflam. And based, oh, Zenemar, Omer Rav Yehuda Omer Rav, Kol Yavam Hashinah Nikar Babashas Nefili Yavam Yavayolah, Harei Keishasach Shiesh Moibonim Vasura. And that brings us to the fourth Mishnah. Shmoy Shaach, and there were three brothers. Shnai Mehem Nesuim Shtei Achayas. Two of them were married to sisters, like in the previous three Mishnayas. Ve'achad Nasuin Achris, and one of them was not married to a sister. This is a whole new case. Giresh Echa Mibale Achayas Esishtoi. What happens if one of the brothers that was married divorced his wife, Reuven? So Reuven divorced his wife. Who's his wife? One of the two sisters. Umeis Nasui Nachris. And then Levi died. Okay. Vikinso Hamigarish. And then Reuven went and did Yibum to Levi's wife, Umeis. And then Reuven died. So that Reuven's wife, who was previously Levi's wife, is now falling the Yibum to Shimon. So again, what happened? Let's do this one more time. Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. Reuven and Shimon are married to sisters. Levi's married to the Nachris. Reuven divorces his wife. Get. After he gives her a get, Levi dies. Reuven does Yibum on Levi's wife. So right now, Reuven just has one wife. Then Reuven dies. Shimon is alive. Shimon has a mitzvah of Yibum. There's only one woman to be Miyabim. It's Levi's wife. Levi's wife is Anachris. Levi's wife was never Shimon's wife's sister. There's no tzad erev in the world. There would have been a havamina. Ben benoy shall have havamina. Then maybe Shimon shouldn't have a mitzvah of Yibum. So the Mishnah, no. The halacha is Zuhi Sha'amru. This is what the Mishnah meant when it said, the kulon shemesu oynes garshu tzareseyem mutaris. When did the Mishnah say that? On that Beis Amid Aleph. The Mishnah said on that Beis Amid Beis, that although there's halacha of tzaras erva, but what would be if Reuven was married to Shimon's erva and to another wife? And then Shimon's erva, who was Reuven's wife, died or got a get, or she did miyun, or she was named Islandess, then Reuven dies, so Reuven's wife is not going to be a tzaras erva. Says the Mishnah, it's for that reason, in this case, Shimon can go ahead and do Yibum. There's no Tzad Tzaras Erva. Why is there no Tzad Tzaras Erva? Because when Reuven died, the only wife Reuven had was Levi's wife, who's a Nachris. What would have been the Havamina that there should be a problem? Why are we even having this conversation? Why is this a Mishnah in Arba Achen? It's because once upon a time, Reuven was married to another woman. And that woman was Achos Ishtoi Shel Shimon. So I would have had a Havamina that being that at some point Reuven was married to a woman that was Shimon's wife's sister. So maybe Reuven's new wife, who was Levi's wife, should have a din of a tzaras achis ishtoi, kamash malonat. Why not? Oh, but does it the Mishnah daf beis? The kulon shemesu in his garshu tzareseyem mutaris. Because being that at the time that Reuven died, they weren't married. At the time that Reuven died, he had already been megarish his own wife. He had been megarish to achis isha. So it comes out that Levi's wife is not a tzaras achis isha. And because she's not a tzaras achis isha, so it's for that reason, this is not going to be an ish. Now the Gemara from here until the Mishnah, Anamid Beis, is going to focus on a diak in the case of the Mishnah. So the Mishnah wanted to make a point. The Mishnah wanted to make a point that we know already. Again, so far there's been very few chedushim, and there's a lot of math, a lot of yevamis arithmetic. But in terms of chedushim, we know all the yesoidis that we've seen so far. The yesoidis that even though there's halach of tzaras erva, but tzaras erva has to be there at the time of the misa. But the fact that once upon a time Reuven was married to a woman, that in and of itself wouldn't make her into a, that in and of itself would not make her into a, not make her into a tzaras erva. But the case of the Mishnah seems to be very, very precise. The case of the Mishnah is where Reuven divorced his wife, then Levi died, then Reuven did Yibum to Eishes Levi, then Reuven died. Right? Those are the four things that happen in succession. Reuven divorced his wife, Levi died. Reuven did Yibum to Eishes Levi, and then Reuven died, and now Shimon has a shaila. Should he do Yibum? And the Mishnah says, yeah. Why? This is the Kulon Shemeso in Eskarshu. Mutaris. The truth is, L'chura, there are two things that you would think would not have had to happen in the order that the Mishnah presented it. Number one, why did Reuven have to divorce his wife before Levi died? What would have been if first Levi died, and then Reuven divorced his wife? Levi dies, Seder. After Levi dies, Reuven divorces his wife. And then Reuven marries, does Yibum, Teishas Levi. And then Reuven dies. It's the same halacha. Levi died, Seder. Reuven, before he did Yibum, Teishas Levi, was Megarish as Ishtai. So it comes out he was never married to his wife, who's the Achai Sisha of Shimon, and Teishas Levi. So that now that Reuven dies, this woman who was Eishes Levi is not going to be a tzara. Achis Isha. Her would be the same case. Right? I'll tell you better. What would have been if Levi would have died and then Reuven would have done Yibum to Eishes Levi? Hitaka would have been Miyabim Eishes Levi. And then after he was Miyabim Eishes Levi, then he divorced his wife and then he died. L'charid Allah the Mishnah would also be the same. Because even in that case, even though Reuven first did Yibum to Eishes Levi and then was Miyabim his wife, so that Reuven was married to the two women at the same time, but if he wasn't married to the two women at the time that he died, then L'cheru she's not a Tzara Serfa. So really, the backdrop of understanding this next not such easy Gemara is internalizing these two diyukim. The Mishnah seems to be setting out an order in a very, very precise way. Reuven divorced his wife, then Levi died, then Reuven did Yibum, and then Reuven died. What would be if Levi would have died, and then Reuven divorced his wife? Reuven was never married to the two women at the same time. This knowing the world, halacha wouldn't be the same. Or even better, what would have been if Levi died, Reuven did Yibum? See, he was married to both of them at the same time. But he divorced the Achis Isha before he died. So at the time that Reuven died, it comes out that Levi's wife wasn't a Tzara's Achis Isha. It would also be the same halacha. So why is the Mishnah going to great pains to tell me the case the way he told it to me? There's two other ways that it could have presented it. Again, let's keep that in mind because that is the entire schlissel to understanding the rest of the Gemara. So zok the Gemara. A diuk. One of the two diukim that we just mentioned. Time of the Girish Vachakach Meis. It sounds like from the Mishnah that the reason that Allah is that by the time Reuven dies and Eishes Levi falls leaving to Shimon, that Allah is that Shimon's allowed to do Yivam, it's because Reuven divorced his wife, the Achis Isha, and then afterwards Levi died. Ava Meis Vachakach Girish. What would have been had Levi died first? And then afterwards, Reuven would have divorced his wife. It sounds like Asura. Shimon would not have been able to do Yivam. Why not? What could possibly be the reason? Where's the Tzatzara Serva? Reuven was never married to the two women at the same time. So if he was never married to the two women at the same time, was ken zayn the Tzara Serva? Of Rav Ashi said, so you say Meres, you know, the Pshad is Yesh Zika. Must be Yesh Zika, and I feel betray Achi, even by two brothers. The Teretz is, once Levi dies, if Reuven's married still to Shimon's wife's sister, so it comes out that Reuven has a Zika to Ishas Levi, he's also married to his own wife. So through Zika, it would emerge then that the wife of Levi is an erva to Shimon. So that now that Reuven dies, it comes out Eishes Levi, even though he was never married to her. But through Zika, she's going to be an Achis Zikukasai. She's going to be an Achis, a Tzoras Achis Ishtai. And as a result, you can end up having a problem. Now, notice that Rav Ashi said, Zoisei Meresh, Yesh Zika, Afnilu Betreyachi. Why Afnilu Betreyachi? Because when Levi died, Levi's wife fell to Yubim to Ruvain and to Shimon. And if you're telling me Yesh Zika, and that's why it had to be Dafkin, the order that it was in, because had it been in the reverse order, you would have had a problem of Tsaris Achis Isha Bezika. Zoisei Meresh, Yesh Zika, Afnilu Betreyachi. But that's what Rav Ashi said. So you see from here, now what? Yesh Zika, Afnilu Betreyachi. Zok to Gemara, we have a little bit of a problem. Why? We promised we were going to come back to the top of the Yom. Because on the top of the Yom, the Gemara made a diak in the very first case of the Mishnah. And because of that diak, the Gemara proved Amar Rav Nachman, Zoysei Meres, Ein Zika Vafilu Bechadacha. And here was saying, Zoysei Meres, Yesh Zika Vafilu Betreyach. This is from sea to shining sea. From the first Mishnah, you see, Ein Zika Vafilu Bechadacha. And from the fourth Mishnah, you see, Yesh Zika Vafilu Betreyach. Now, what was the Makar that Ein Zika Vafilu Betreyach in the first Mishnah? What was the first Mishnah? First Mishnah was where there were three brothers, two of them were married to sisters, and one of the two brothers that were married to sisters died. Reuven died. And then Levi went ahead and he did Maimer. And then Levi died. So the halacha is that Shimon now, who's the only brother, he does chalitza to Levi's wife because she's a tsaras erval yidei Maimer. So Nachum made a diak that why did Levi have to do Maimer? Even had he not done Maimer, she would have been a tsaras achis isha al yidei Zika. So he said, it must be ain Zika. And even in that case, but there was only one brother, because we spoke out, even though there were two brothers, but when Reuven died, his wife only fell to Levi. She never fell to Shimon. So in the first Mishnah, you see ain Zika. And he said, Yesh Zika Filu Betreyachi. Zok to Gemara, the Rav Ashi, according to Rav Ashi, who proved from Mishnah number 4, Yesh Zika Filu Betreyachi, Kasha the Rav Nachman. It's a Kasha Rav Nachman's Dig. Why did the Mishnah on the top of the Yomid in the first case have to talk about Maimer? Afilu on Maimer. If you hold Yesh Zika Filu Betreyachi, certainly Bechadacha, that even if Levi never did Maimer, that Loch would be Chaletzis, because she's a Tsaras Achri Sisha Yedei Zika. I'm like, Rav Ashi will tell you, true. Who I didn't have a Gafta Yavaba Maimer, Nachris Michatz Chal. I agree with you. The Mishnah could have said it's halacha even had Levi never done Maimer because of Zika. So why did the Mishnah say Maimer? The Mishnah just wanted Agav Urchi throw in that we don't pass like Beishamai. Beishamai holds Maimer as Koine Kinyan Gomer. So according to Beishamai, if Levi does Maimer, it comes out that you don't do Chalitza on the Tzara. Why not? Because she's a Tzara Sachistisha. She's a regular Tzara Sachistisha. Kamashman, that Maimer is not Koine Kinyan Gomer. And therefore, the halacha is Chalitza. Let's blame Yisav Emes. But the Emes is, the truth is, that even had Levi not done Maimer, the Allah would be Chaletz Tzolim Yisav Emes, because Yesh Zika Betreyachin, and certainly Yesh Zika Bechadachin. So, the Gemara, the Rav Nachman Kasha, the Rav Ashi. Okay, now the reverse. Rav Nachman, who holds Ein Zika, Afilu Bechadachin, he did make the Diak in Mishnah number 1. That you see Ein Zika. So, the Chura Rav Ashi was Medayik from Mishnah number 4. Yesh Zika, Afilu Betreyachi. How's Rav Nachman going to be Miyashiv Rav Ashi Zik? We explained how Rav Ashi was Miyashiv Rav Nachman Zik. Lafukim de Beishama. But how's Rav Nachman now going to be Miyashiv Rav Ashi Zik? So the Gemara says like this. Maybe the Chitemo. Maybe not the Teretz is. Who adin da Afilu Meis Vachgach Girish? It's a Rasam Teretz. Maybe it's Lav Dafka. That's an easy way out. I mean, it's true. The Mishnah said Reuven divorced his wife and then Levi died. Yeah, the Mishnah could have said Levi died and then Reuven divorced his wife. And Chanami, Mishnah, in theory, could have said that. But the Gemara says, I hear. I mean, the Gemara is willing to accept that, interestingly enough. We made a big deal about it, but that's because it was the Havamina of the Gemara. We had to learn it. But really, the Gemara is willing to very easily fall off of it and say that maybe the Seder is Lav Dafka. But the Gemara says, I have one issue. Elezu hila mutei mai. The Mishnah said, V'kulan shemeso in this garshu, sorry, say mutaris, zu hisha amru. V'kulan shemeso in this garshu, sorry, say mutaris. You know what zu hisha amru means? This as opposed to something else. What's that something else? This something else must be one of the nuances of the Mishnah. The Mishnah's case is extremely hyper nuanced. And it must mean that something in the Mishnah is when you say the halacha that in Meso in the Skashut Sarah Sayyid Mutaris, but if you'd flip around something in the Mishnah, it wouldn't be that way. So the Gemara says, doesn't it mean that instead of saying Ruven Girish Ishtai Vachach Meislevi, Meislevi Vachach Ruven Girish Ishtai, and it's because Yesh Zika, and again, so Hadra Kushaluduch, the Gemara says, no. You know, you want to know what Zuhi's Lamute? It's Lamute something else. It's Lamute the other diik that we made. Lamute Kines Vachach Girish, Agavaldik. You know what it's coming to be Mamayit? It's coming to be Mamayit, not if Levi would have died and then Reuven would have been Megarish. That's the same as Reuven being Megarish and then Levi dying.
Yesh, because really ain't Zika, so really it's one and the same. What then is the Zuhi? Why is the Mishnah nuanced? Which nuance in the case is coming to be Meyer another case? It's the case if Levi would have died and Reuven would have actually been Meyabe Meshes Levi. Then the halacha would have been, if Reuven divorces his wife, and then Reuven dies, right, Kines, he's Meyabe Meshes Levi. Vachka Girish, then he divorces his wife. It's in that case that the halacha of the Mishnah is not going to be true. In that case, she is going to be a Tzara's Erva. So the Gemara says like this, Hanicha, that's all good. Isava like Rabbi Yirmiya. That's true if you hold like Rabbi Yirmiya. The Amar who said Tavra, Mishnah Shanazu, Lai Shanazu. That this Mishnah on Daf Lamed, we'll explain in a second, and the Mishnah on Daf Beis, it's not the same Mishnah. Meaning the Tana of the Mishnah on Daf Lamed is not the same as the Tana of the Mishnah on Daf Beis. Vai Tana Sova, Misa Mapelas. And the Tana on Daf Beis holds Misa Mapelas. Vai Tana Sova, Nesuna Rishayna Mapilim. And the Tana on Daf Lamed holds Nesuna Rishayna Mapilim. Zuhila Muta Kinnas of Saif Girish. Then it works. Eli Sova, like a Rava. But if he holds the Tana, if we hold like Rava, Domaloilam Chatanahu, that really it's more one big Tana. Vizuvain Sarach Lamezuk Tani. And the two Mishnayas are really not at odds with each other. It's not Misha Shanazu, Lai Shanazu. It's really one Tana and it's a Zuvain Sarach Lemezuk. Again, we'll explain this in 1 second. Snuhilam Utemai. What Zui called me to be Mamayid? So these few lines feel a little bit intimidating. The truth is it's Chazara. We learned this already. We saw this Gemara word for word, verbatim, on Daf Yud Gimel Amid Aleph. The Gemara on Daf Yud Gimel Amid Aleph asked the Kasha. The Kasha was that the Mishnah says that even though there's Alach of Tzara Serva, but the Kulam in Mesu, or Mianu, and Niskarish, and it's islands, the Alach is. Then Tzara Seim Mutaris. I mean, the only time there's a din of Tzara Serva is if they would Tzara Serva till the end. And the Mishnah said, Ketzad, what's an example? And the Mishnah gave an example. The case was where Reuven was married to Shimon's daughter and to another wife. And then Shimon's daughter died. And then Reuven died. So the halacha is in that case, it's not going to be a Tzara Serva. Why? Because even though Reuven was married to both women at the same time, but at the time that Reuven died, he wasn't married to both women. As for that reason, the halacha is going to be that what? The halach is going to be that tzareseyem mutares, it's not going to be a case of tzara serva. Meaning, if Reuven is married to both of them at the same time, but not married to both of them at the time that he dies, there's no halach of tzara serva. So the Gemara, the Kasha, as with our Mishnah. Our Mishnah, the diyak that we made, is very, very mashma, that the only reason there's no halach of tzara serva, zui sha'amru v'kulon sh'meso in iskashu tzareseyem mutares, is why? It's because, first, Reuven divorced his wife, and then afterwards, Reuven was Meyabe Meshes Levi. But it sounds like had Reuven been Meyabe Meshes Levi and then divorced his wife, the Achis Isha, then there would have been a din of Tzara Serva. Why? Because they were married at the same time. Who cares? But he wasn't married to them at the time that he died. He divorced the Achis Isha by the time he died. That was the Gemara's Kasha. And the Gemara gave two terutzim. Rav Yirmiyah's Teretz Tavra. You're right, it's a stira. Two Mishnayos don't stem. Tzmei under Tanoim. One Tano holds that if they're married, that's not enough for it to be a Tzara Serva. They have to be married at the time of death in order to be Tzara Serva. That's the Tana Daf Beis. And the Tana Daf Lamed holds that no, if they're at any point married to both at the same time, that's going to be enough for it to be considered a Tzara Serva. What's the lumdus of the Machloikis? The Tana Daf Beis holds that Misa's Mapelis, Yevamis comes into gear at the time of Misa. So that's when we take a snapshot. We see right now is she a Tzara Serva. Whereas the Tana Daf Lamed holds the Surah and Yishayna Mapilim. So if at any time he's married to both of them at the same time, that's going to be the Halach. Rava said a different Teretz. Rava said there's really no Machloikis. Zu, the ain't Tzara Chloy Mazu Ketani. That really the Tana, the Mishnah Daf Beis holds the Tana Mishnah Daf Lamed. And the Tana Mishnah Daf Beis is saying the big Chiddush. That even if he was married to both of them at the same time, still the Halach is. If he wasn't married to both of them at the time that he died, she's not going to be considered a Tzara. So why the Mishnah on Daf Lamed say the lesser Chiddush that he divorced her before he even married her? Because the Tana of the Mishnah does that sometimes. Sometimes the Tana of the Mishnah says something it doesn't have to say. Al derech zu the ain't tzarech loy marzu. In other words, here's the punchline. Whether our Mishnah holds that the Seder of saying that Reuven divorced his wife before he did Yibum is Dafka or is not Dafka is a machlekes amira. It's a machlekes Rabbi Yirmiyah and Rava. On Daf Yud Gimel Amid Aleph. According to Rabbi Yirmiyah, the Seder's Dafka, Misha Shanazu, Loi Shanazu, if he would have been married to both of them at the same time, she'd have a din of a Tzara Serva. And that's why it's Dafka that Reuven has to divorce his wife before he's Meyabe Meshes Levi. Whereas according to Rava, it's not true. According to Rava, really, even if he was married to both of them at the same time, the halacha would be she's not a Tzara Serva. So why was the Mishnah said the way it was said? Because sometimes the Mishnah says something that is obvious, where really I could have said a bigger Chiddush, where the Tan already said the bigger Chiddush on that base, so it's beged the Zuvain Tzara Chloy Mezu. So what's the Cheshman of the Gemara? The Cheshman of the Gemara is like this. According to Rav Nachman, that holds Ein Zika. So the kasha is, then the order of Reuven Girish Ishtai V'achakach Meis Levi, or Meis Levi V'achakach Reuven Girish Ishtai is Lav Dafka. So if it's Lav Dafka, so what is Zuhi Lamute? It's not coming Lamute, Levi died before Reuven divorced his wife. It obviously is coming to Mimayit something else. What's that other thing it must be coming to Mimayit? What would have been if Reuven was Miyabe Meishas Levi before he divorced his wife? And it's coming to tell me that in that case, it would not have been the Kulon Shemeso in Niskashu Tzareseim Mutaris, meaning he would have been a Tzares Erva, which is not like the Mishnah and Daf Beis Amud Aleph. So the Gemara says like this, Ha Nicho, that's all good. If Rav Nachman holds like Rabbi Yirmiyah, who holds Tavra Misha Shanazu, Loi Shanazu, because the Tana of our Mishnah holds Nesu and Harishayim Lamapilim, so then it's true when it says Zuhi, that first Reuven divorced his wife and then he was Miyabim Eishin Slavi, it's in that order, Dafka, Lamute Kines, Ulubasayv Girish. So that's what it has to be coming to Mayit something. Ain't Zikos, it's not coming to Mayit Levi's death versus Reuven's Gerish. It's coming to my mind, Reuven's Gerish versus Reuven's Yibam of Eishes Levi. It's very good, but if he holds like Rava, so according to Rava, that Diak is not a Diak, because really the time of the Mishnah Daf Lamed holds what the time of Mishnah Daf Beis held. And as long as he was not married to them at the time that he died, she's not going to be a tzaras ever, because everybody holds a misa mapelas. So the Gemara says, if that's the case, so zuhi lemute mai. So according to Rav Nachman, what's the zuhi coming to be mayit? And for the Gemara, al karchak, you have to say Rav Yirmiyah sfirulei. I hear you're going to have to say Rav Nachman holds like Rav Yirmiyah. Meaning Rav Nachman that holds ein zika. So obviously the zuhi, the nuance of the Mishnah is not coming to be mayit. The Zika case, what's it coming to Mayit Kines Ula Basayv Girish, which only works in Cheshbon according to Rabbi Yirmiyah. Rav Nachman held up Rabbi Yirmiyah. One more Cheshbon, Ula Rava, says the Gemara, according to Rava, who's Rava? Rava that holds that the Seder of the Mishnah is Lav Dafka, because really, even if Reuven would have been Miyabim Eishes Levi and then divorced his wife, still the halacha would have been true, because he holds the Tana of the Mishnah Daf Lamed, also holds Misim Apelles, like the Tana of the Mishnah Daf Beis. So why did Tana of the Mishnah say such a lesser chiddush if it could have said a bigger chiddush? Because Reuven Tzorok Loi Mezug Tani, so Han Yichay Savah like Rav Ashi, so Bish Loi Mezug the Gemara if he holds like Rav Ashi. The Rav Ashi holds that Reuven Kirish Ishtoi Vachach Meis Levi, that's in the precise order because Yesh Zika. So I understand why Zuhi is coming to me Mayit. It's coming to me Mayit that if Levi would have died before Reuven divorced his wife, then we would have had a problem because of Tzaras Achis Yesh Bezika, at least like Rav Nachman. But if he holds Ein Zika like Rav Nachman, Zuhi Lamute Mayit, it's not coming to me Mayit if Levi died before Reuven divorced his wife. And it's not coming to be Mamayit Kines Ulubasayf Girish. So it has to be coming to be Mamayit something. What's it coming to be Mamayit? So the Gemara says, you're right, Al Karch Gravashi Sfirle. Must be holds like Gravashi, which then emerges, if you do the math, that Rav Nachman, who held in Zika and Ar Sugyo, has to hold like Rabbi Yirmiyah with regards to how to reconcile the apparent contradiction between the Mishnah Daf Beis and the Mishnah Daf Gimel. And Rava, who said that there really is no machloikis between the two Mishnayis on the base and Daf Chav, is going to have to hold like Rav Ashi and Ar Sugyo, who holds Yesh Zika, a little bit of a cheshbin, or a lot of bit of a cheshbin. This is classic Arba Achim for you. But what's interesting is that we have two machloikisin in Yevamis that at first glance seem to be very disparate machloikisin. One is Yesh Zika, Ein Zika. Another one is whether you say Misa Mapelas and Sunar Rishonim Mapilin, whether there is a machloikis between the Mishnah Daf Beis, the Mishnah Daf Gimel, or the Mishnah Daf Gimel, Mishnah Daf Lamed, or there is no machloikis between the Mishnah Daf Beis and the Mishnah Daf Lamed. These two machloikis, in which again at first glance you would have thought have nothing to do with each other, but as it turns out, they very much are related to each other as a derivative machloikis, because in Cheshbon it's only possible to make Rav Nachman work with Rav Yirmiyah, and it's only possible to make Rava work with Rav Ashi. Exhale. So just to go back, really part two of today's daf, very, very, very different part to what we were talking about yesterday, and that is the Cherem de Rabbeinu Gershom. So if yesterday was Cherem de Rabbeinu Gershom part one, so today's raid will be Cherem de Rabbeinu Gershom part two. So yesterday we were introduced to what we already know, and that is that although midairaisa it's mutter for a man to have more than one wife, and even midrabbanon it's mutter for a man to have more than one wife, that it's mutter for a man to have more than one wife. Stating that, we know that today, it's usur for a man to have more than one wife. And the origin of this prohibition goes back to the times of the Gaonim,
It goes back to the 10th century. It was instituted by Rabbeinu Gershom Ma'or HaGoyla, who Kishmoy Kachi was Rabban Shel Kol B'nei HaGoyla. He was the undisputed Gadol HaDar. He was the Grester Rosh Hashiva of the Dar. He would be the Rebbe of the earliest Rishonim. And he, at some point in history, felt that it was very, very important to make a takana and to say that from this point forward, it's going to be aser for a man to be married to more than one wife. Now, there's a lot of conjecture and different theories as to why Rabbeinu Gershom felt so strongly about implementing this takana. But the most notable reason is the reason that the Beis Shmuel quotes in Eben Ezer Siman Aleph in the name of Dagois Martcha, and he says he did it Mishum Ketata. The reason he did it was is because he saw that there were fights breaking out and it wasn't good for Shalom Bayis for a man to have more than one wife. We know that two wives that are married to the same man are known as Tsaroi Zulazu Ukishmoy Kachi, and as a result he felt that it was coming and leading to issues of shalom, and it's for that reason he instituted that moving forward, it's not going to be okay for a man to be married to more than one wife. But he didn't just make a takana, he didn't just make a gzera. He made a cherem. He said that if anyone's going to violate this takana, he didn't just do something that he's not allowed to do, but he should be put in cherem. Now, yesterday we talked about just some of the basics, the 101 of the Cherem de Rabbeinu Gershom. And it's clear that the Rishonim were a little bit novach in the whole sugya, meaning they weren't so sure. There wasn't such a clear Messiah as to the extent and some of the details of the takana of Rabbeinu Gershom. We mentioned three major shailas that the Rishonim debated in terms of the scope of the Cherem de Rabbeinu Gershom. Number one, when Rabbeinu Gershom instituted this takana, did he mean it for every single place that Yidden are living? Or was it only for the part of the world that he technically had governance over, which was Medinas Ashkenaz? Meaning, what about the Yidden that lived in Sfard, or the Yidden that lived in Eretz Yisrael, or maybe Jews today that are living in the United States of America? They weren't in the area, maybe, where Rabbeinu Gershom takana really took off, and based on that, the question was, are they bound by the takana, or are they not bound by the takana? Second question that was debated by the Rishonim was this takana put in place forever, or maybe it had an expiration date? The Marshal quotes the Rajba that said that he had a Mesorah that Rabbeinu Gershom, when he made the takana, he wanted it to be in place until the end of the Elav HaChamishi, till the year 1239, meaning until the year 5000 L'mispareinu. But after that, there's no Cherem de Rabbeinu Gershom anymore. And another Shiloh that the Rishonim debated big time, and that is, what about B'makom Mitzvah? What if there's a mitzvah at hand right now? What if there's a Yid that wants to do a mitzvah? But if he does this mitzvah, it's going to come in conflict with the Cherem de Rabbeinu Gershom. Did Rabbeinu Gershom implement his takana afilu b'makom mitzvah, or did he not implement it b'makom mitzvah? But today, I think it's kedai to discuss a shaila that's discussed by the Gedolei HaPoskim, which goes a little bit to the root and to the core of understanding what exactly the Cherem de Rabbeinu Gershom was. And that is, there's a perek in Shas, the perek of Masechtas Yevamos, at the end of the Masechta, it's called Perek Ha'isha Rabba. The perek discusses Ha'isha Shehalach Bailu Medina Sayam. There was a woman, a married woman, her husband went to Medina Sayam, and a long time passed, and he hasn't come back. And back in the day, they didn't have communication like we have today. And frankly, she had no idea if her husband was alive. Her husband wasn't alive. She's an Eishes Ish. An Eishes Ish is not allowed to get married to another man. And as a result, she was an aguna. She's stuck at home because she doesn't know where her husband is, if he's alive or not. What she could do. And there's a whole parak in Shas and many, many sugis in Shas that are dedicated to the plight of this woman. In fact, there were many kulas that were instituted by Chazal to help her. The most notable kula is that ordinarily, when it comes to a davish be'erva, the halach is ein davish be'erva pachas mishnayim. Just like for dine mominus and dine nefashis, you need two edim in order to say testimony in court. We learn davar davar, and the same is true when it comes to a davish be'erva as well. Ein davish be'erva pachas mishnayim. Bezdin will not accept testimony when it comes to any davish be'erva unless there are two edim. Stating that, there's a tremendous kula in the world that's known as Eidus Isha. Be'eidus Isha hekilu, where the halach is that if an eid echad would now come from Medina Sayam, and he would say that, you know, I was in Medina Sayam, goes to Bezdin, I saw Ploinus's husband, he's not alive. The halacha is, he would be believed.
And even though it's Dava Sheba Erva, and even though this Eidos is now going to be Matur and Eishes Ish L'shuk, and if she gets married and we get it wrong and has a child, the child's going to be a Mamzer, but it doesn't matter. The Eidos Isha Chazal were Mekel, and they said that even Eidachot is going to be believed. And by the way, not only in Eidachot, even people that are ordinarily Pasul Eidos, they're also going to be believed. Even the woman herself is believed. There's tremendous kulois when it comes to the Halacha of Eidos Isha. Now the truth is, a big shaila in the Rishonim, why? Right, why are we so mekel? The Shev Shmeitza and Shmeitza Zion. So he lays out all the different shittas. But what emerges is a few different thoughts. One thought is, Mishum Aguna, Akilu Bei Rabbanan. Really, we shouldn't be mekel. But at the end of the day, this woman's going to be an Aguna otherwise. And Chazal were very, very sensitive to her matziv. And Mishum Aguna, Akilu Bei Rabbanan, they said that we're going to be mekel even if there's only an Eidachon. Another svara that the Rishonim discussed based on the Gemara is that there's an idea of Daika Isha Mintzaba. A woman knows that if she gets married and really she was an Eishes Ish, her children are going to be Mamzerim, she's going to have a major issue on her hand. So she's going to do a proper due diligence. She is going to investigate this by herself. She's going to hire her own people to make sure that whatever this Eidachot is saying is true. So because of the fact that there's such a strong umdana of Daika Isha Mintzaba, so it's for that reason we allow this woman to get married even though all there is an Eidachot. The Rambam, when he talks about the Halacha of Eidos Isha, he says another idea. He says, because it's a milsa davide legluye. The chal milsa davide legluye le meshakra inshi. A man walks into court and he says, I saw her husband, he was dead. What happens if Baharuk Viraglov? What happens if he shows up in a week from now? This man's not going to look good. It's not going to do good for his credibility. So as a result, we assume that a person wouldn't lie on something that it's easy for him to get caught on. And because of the idea that it's a milsa davide legluye, it's another svara that the Rishonim talk about. So you have Mishum Aguna, Kilo Bei Rabbanan, Daiki Isha Mintzaba, it's a milsa davide legluye. But the bottom line is that when it comes to Eidos Isha, the halacha is that Isha Shalach Bailam Dina Sayam, if an Eidach would come and say that I know this man died, the halacha is this woman would be allowed to get married based on the testimony of this Eidach. It's a tremendous chiddush, but it's a halacha revacha bi Yisrael. This is Teresh Baal Peh 101. It's Nashim and Nezikin 101. Everyone knows this, that when it comes to Eidos Isha, a woman is allowed to get married based on the testimony of only an Eidach. Now it's interesting that when Chazal discussed the case of Eidos Isha, they discussed a Isha Shahalach Bailu Medina Sayam. They never discussed the reverse case. They never discussed a married man whose wife went Lemedina Sayam and she didn't come back. What's the halacha? And the reason they never discussed it is because there's nothing to talk about. It's sad, it's not kishmak, but at the same time, what's the shaila? The shaila is, could he get married? Of course he could get married. He can marry another woman. And what happens if his wife shows up? So she showed up. But at the end of the day, there was really nothing to talk about. It was a moot point. We're learning Arba Achen. This is not an issue. This is light. And as a result, there's definitely nothing to worry about. And it's for that reason, Chazal never talked about it. But here's the shaila. What happened was, after Rabbeinu Gershom made a takana, and he instituted a cherem to Rabbeinu Gershom, which states that a man is not allowed to have more than one wife. Shtelt sich the shaila. What would be if there was a man whose wife went to Medina Sayah? She left. She hasn't been heard from in a long time. This man has no idea where she is. He's an aguna. He's an agun. He's the male version of an aguna. Because he can't just go get married to somebody else. There's a cherem der Rabbeinu Gershom that doesn't allow him to get married. An eidachot walks into court, and eidachot tells Beis Din, I saw this man's wife, she died. She's not alive anymore. Could he get married now based on the eidos of the eidachot? Or could he not get married based on the eidos of the eidachot? The eidos isha, hikilu, the halach is, we trust in eidachot. What about in the reverse case? What about in the case where there's a man whose wife went to Medina Sayam, where it's not a question of Mishum Aguna, but it's a question of Mishum Agun. Do you have the same kula, or do you not have the same kula? It's a fascinating question that the Gemara never talked about because it was a moot point in the times of the Gemara. But once Rabbeinu Gershom came and he instituted his cherem, so now right, there's a real festa shaila. What would be the case of Isha Shalach Bailu Medina Sayam in the reverse, where it was a man whose wife went to Medina Sayam, and now an Eidachot walked in? Would you trust Eidachot, would you not trust Eidachot? So this shaila was discussed by none other than the Beis Shmuel. The Beis Shmuel and Evan has a siman Kuf Nun Ches. It's Sivkot and Aleph. The Beis Shmuel discusses this. V'lochayr nira bizman hazeh diyesh cherem Rabbeinu Gershom shlo yisa isha lishtoi, that a person not allowed to marry more than one wife. Ein eidecha neman shemesa ishtoi. An eidecha would not believe to say that a person's wife died. Snuck the Beis Shmuel. It's pasha to me that it wouldn't work. By the woman it works. But by the man, it would not work. Okay, so Zokta Beis Shmuel, what would be the halacha? So he says, if there's no special kula of Eidos Isha when it comes to the man, so really you treat this Eid Echad the way you would always treat an Eid Echad. So what's the halacha? An Eid Echad walks into Bezin, do you believe him or not? Oh, it depends what we're talking about. Is it Dine Mominis? So Eid Echad has come l'shvua, but he's not believed to actually make a person have to pay. Dine Nefashis? Al Pishnayim Meidum Yakum Dover, not Negeya. Dover Sheva Erva? Ein Dover Sheva Erva Pachas Mishnayim. If it's a question of Issa Veheter, Eid Echad Nemem B'Yisurin, right? So how would you treat this? To me, this is a question of Issa Veheter. It's not a question of Davish Sheva Erva. There's no Davish Sheva Erva at stake. It's a question of a Cherim. It's not a Davish Sheva Erva. It's not an Erva. There's no Bias Isser necessarily. If a child is born, there's not going to be Mamzerim. It's a question of Issa Veheter. Alzen Nemar, Eidecha Nemen Bisur. But the halacha is, he quotes the Ramah in Simin Kuf Chav Zayin in Yeridea, who paskins that even though Eidechad is Nemen Beisurim, but the only time Eidechad is Nemen Beisurim is Heichad Deloy is Chazak Yisurim. But Heichad is Chazak Yisurim, if there's a Cheskas Isser, then Eidechad is not Nemen Beisurim. So for example, if there's a piece of meat, you have no idea if this piece of meat is kosher or not kosher meat. Eidechad is believed to say that it's a piece of kosher meat. But let's say there's a piece of meat and we know Edom said that it was not kosher meat, or there's a chazaka that says that it's not kosher meat, and the Eidechad wants to now go kineged the chazaka. He wants to take something that's becheskas isser and make it mutter. Over there, the Eidechad is not believed. So says the Beis Shmuel, to me, this is a case of Eidechad nemen b'yisurim, heicha this chazak yisura, because this man is becheskas that he's not allowed to marry another wife, because he's becheskas that he's married, because the last that we know his wife was alive. So being that he's becheskas that he's not allowed to get married, Eid Echad is not neman kineged this chazak yisura, and the Beis Shmuel paskin that the halacha is going to be in this case that this man would not be allowed to get married to another wife based on the testimony that an Eid Echad said that his wife is alive, that his wife died. Which means, if you think about it, it's fascinating. Ha'isha shaholach baila l'medina sayam, where this woman is an eshesish, where if this woman gets married and we get it wrong, it's chayvi krisos, and if she has a child, the child is going to be a mamzer. There the halach is, if an eidecha says the husband is dead, go ahead and get married. Eidus isha, you believe in eidecha. When the man's wife went away, and she's the one that went to medina sayam, and we haven't heard from her, and now an eidecha walks in and says, she's not alive. Where, what's at stake? A cherim de Rabbeinu Gershon. That's all that's at stake. All it is a cherim. Over there, we're not going to believe the Eid Echad. So we're going to trust the Eid Echad for the Isser Chomer of Eishes Ish. We're not going to trust the Eid Echad when it comes to the Isser Kal of the cherim de Rabbeinu Gershon. Just meditate on that a little bit. Chiddush Nifla. And the Beis Shmuel said to me, it's not a question of Chiddush or not Chiddush. It's not a question of meditation. Just think about it. At the end of the day, when it comes to the woman, Mishum Aguna, Kilo Bei Rabbanon, Chazal Ad Rachmanos on her, this svar is to say that we would be Mekel. When it comes to the man, we don't have those svaris. So he left with his Achim Dermen Ugeshim, and the Allah is, we're not going to trust Eidach. Stating that, the Noida Bi Yehuda, Hagoyin Agadol, Rashke Bahai, Rabbi Cheska Landau wrote several tshuvas in his Noida Bi Yehuda, where he took this psak of the Beis Shmuel to task. He disagreed with the psak of the Noi de Bihuda. But I think in order to appreciate the Noi de Bihuda a little bit better, we have to take one step back. This won't be long, but it's kedai. We have to take one step back. This is Yisoidei HaYisoides, and understand a little bit better what we posed yesterday, and that is, what exactly is a cherim? So we're talking about cherim de Rabbeinu Gershon, right? The Olam varfs it as if, you know, we know what it means. What exactly was the cherim de Rabbeinu Gershon? And specifically, what is a cherim? How did Rabbeinu Gershon have the authority to enforce this cherim on people that he never knew? And how is it possible that hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years after Rabbeinu Gershon passed away, people should still be bound by a cherim that l'chura shouldn't have any authority on them? So the Maramakim, and really the Mara d'Shmaitza, when it comes to the idea of cherim, was none other than the Ramban. In fact, Ramban wrote a sefer called Mishpat HaCherim. It was recently reprinted with Hagois from Hagoyin Rabbi Yosef Ingber Shlita, who he redid the Ramban, and he has tremendous, tremendous Hagois, very, very pertinent to the sugya that we're learning right now, the raid anyways, Ayin Sham, Mishpat HaCherim from the Ramban with the Hagois of Pirish Chaymas Acherim. But the bottom line is the Ramban is ground zero. And really that's the place to start in order to understand the Chaim. So I think it's worth just reading a few excerpts from the Ramban just to get a little bit of a flavor to understand what exactly this means. Quoting from the Ramban's Mishpat Acherim. This chayrim that you find mentioned in different places in the Talmud. Who? Shnebezdem achrimin al davar va'oimrim b'loshen azeh. Bezin says the following: anyone that does this, or any person that's pirates get the bedover pliny, he should be in chayrim. So that's what chayrim is. Chayrim is a takana. That's really all it is. But it's a supercharged takana. It's not just an ordinary takana. It's a takana where the one that's instituting the takana makes it very, very clear that kol ha-poyritz gedeh bedover ployni yehei b'chayrim oy mukhrim hu. If the person making the takana says that, that constitutes what's known not as a regular takana, but that constitutes a chayrim. So what's a chayrim? A chayrim is a takana. That's all. It is a fancy word for a takana. But the reason it's called chayrim is because we know what chayrim means if someone's in chayrim. Because what you're saying is that if anyone's going to violate this takana, he should be put in chayrim. I'm skipping a little bit. Again, quoting the Ramban verbatim. V'yesh tzad chomer b'chayrim zeh she'em b'shvois. He says it's a bezunder chiddush that you find in chayrim that you don't find in other parishes such as shvois. When it comes to a shvua, for example, if someone's going to be bound by a shvua, you have to make the shvua. Or someone else would make the shvua, and you would say, amen. We learn from the parish of Saita, Koloina, amen, achar ha-shvua, right? It's ilu, the person actually made the shvua. But the point is, ordinarily, if you're going to be bound by something, you yourself would have to utter the words. Avo b'cheirin, avo b'shalai kibilalab, even if the person himself was never makabal the cheirin, v'afilu loy hoya sham b'shas ha-gzera, even if he wasn't around at the time of the gzera, kivan she-bezdin rasham lahachrim, being that bezdin has the authority to make a cheirin, hare ha-cheirin chalalav. The chayrim is chal. The osner who lavay al oisa gzeira kemushba mipiatzmoy, and he's not allowed to violate the gzeira as if he himself would have done it. The chayn adin ba'anshei oisa here. Let's say there's a city. He says the Ramban, if rove of the people of the city would come together and they would decide that they want to make a certain takana and they would make it into a chayrim, they have a right to do it. And if one yachid would go ahead and would violate this, the halach is he's ka'over al ashvua and he will be put in chayrim. The bottom line is, says the Ramban, that there's something called a cherem. Cherem is a takano, where the consequence is that if a person violates it, he himself ends up being put in cherem. And cherem has a tremendous chiddush. Ordinarily, if you make a shvur or a neder or something like that, you yourself would have to utter it out of your mouth. Over here, the chiddush is that even if you never said a word, somebody else did it, someone else has the ability to impose it on you. So we're going to see more about what the Ramban says in a moment. But then the Ramban stops for a minute and he says, Azach chiddush has to have a makar, right? Where does this come from? Like, how do I know Bezdin has the ability to do something like that? Like, it must come from somewhere. So where exactly does it come from? So Ramban quotes a pasuk in Nehemiah. The pasuk says, Va'akalaleim, va'ashpiyim be'elokim. That it sounds like Nehemiah said that I was mashpia, the Yidden, and I said that they would have to do whatever I want them to do. Now, it doesn't say that the Yidden ever agreed. It doesn't say they ever signed on. The teretz is that there's something called a cherim, which has the power of a shvua, it really bounds a person by this arbitrary thing. Something that's not really usher. But it has the ability to lock a person down and force a person to do what has to be done. Says the Ramban, once you understand this, it opens up different parashiyas in Tanakh. Parashiyas that we're all somewhat familiar with that really start coming to light. One parasha the Ramban says is the story of Achan. It's right in the beginning of Sefer Yeshua. So the Yidden, they go to Yerichai, and Yeshua makes it very clear that no one's allowed to have any hana, no one's allowed to benefit from the spoils of Yerichai. And there was one person who did, Achan, and because of that, Chet, Chato, Yisrael, he ends up getting punished. And what ends up happening to him? He ends up getting killed. He ends up getting killed. Says the Ramban, how did Yeshua have the authority to kill him? So I'll tell you another story in Tanakh. We know the mice with Pelegesh Begiva. And after the mice with Pelegesh Begiva, so all the Shvatim got together. And all the Shvatim said that there's going to have to be a gathering where we're all going to meet at a certain time and we're going to go fight. Whatever exactly was going on. And there were the people that were living in the city of Yavesh Gilad. They didn't show up. And because they didn't show up, the Yidden determined that they were Chayv Misa. And they went ahead and they killed them. These were the people of Anshei Gilad. Anshei Yavesh Gilad. Freik the Ramban. How did he deserve to kill them? You can't just go ahead and kill people. What right did the Yidden have to kill them? And then he says, besides, you know the leader of the Jews at the time was? At that time, the Yidden, the leader of Klal Yisrael was Pinchas. Pinchas was alive. How did Pinchas give Yidden rishus to go ahead and kill other Yidden? What did those Yidden do to deserve to be killed? What did they deserve to die? So the Ramban says, I'm going to tell you your side. You know what happened in all those cases? In the cases of Achan, the case of Anshe Yavesh Gilad, he brings a Maisa with Yonason, the son of Shlomo Melech. You know what happened in all those cases? There was a Cherem that was imposed. And you ready for a Chiddush? The Ramban says, there's a Pasuk in Parashas Bechukosai. The Pasuk says, Kol Cherem, Ashe Yochara Min Ha'adam, Lo Yipade Moisumas. Kol Cherem, Ashe Yochara Min Ha'adam, Lo Yipade Moisumas. There's a big shaila what this Pasuk means. Rashi says, a Pshat, Sok to Ramban, Lulei de Mistafina. You know what I think the Pasuk is coming to say? That there's a concept, Kol Cherem, Ashe Yochara Min Ha'adam. That if a Melech Yisrael, if a Beis Din determines to impose a cherem, and somebody violates the cherem, lo yipade moisumas, they have a right to kill this person. Cherem is so chomer, says the Ramban, that if Beis Din determines, or if the Melech Yisrael would determine that they want to kill somebody for violating a cherem, they would have the right to do it. That's why Yeshua was able to kill Achan. Because he made a cherem. He didn't just make a takana, don't have anah. He made it into a cherem. And once he made it into a cherem, moisumas, you have the right to give the person Mises Bezdin if you so choose to. And that's why the Anshe Yavesh Gilad were chayev Misa. It's because the Melech decided, it was determined that they should be killed. What do you mean? It was determined they should be killed. You can't just kill people. What do you mean? You could just kill someone? Yeah, you could. Because that's the consequence of a cherem. That if you want to kill somebody because of a cherem, this is something that you have allowed to do. So says the Ramban, that the idea of cherem, although it's not explicit anywhere in the Torah, but there's a pasuk that references it, called cherem asher yochrem in adam lo yipadem mayisumas, which discusses cherem in the extreme, where there's an authority sometimes for people to go ahead and kill in the event that somebody violates a cherem. And once you understand cherem, you understand the pasuk in Nehemiah, that's when Nehemiah said, Vashpiyeh, Vakalim, Belikim. And he says, that's the story of Achan. And that's the story of the Anshe Yavesh Gilad. That's the story of Yoinasin, the one that we didn't mention, the son of Shlomo Melech. And he says, there's different mices and different Kabbalah and Tanakh that start opening up once you understand it. Zokter Ramban. So when you have a snapshot, you have a little bit of a feel, a flavor for what a cherem is. He says, now let me give you a little bit of a sinkum of exactly what cherem then is. Nimtsu, dalid drachim b'cherem shem yishvus ben adam. It comes that there are four things that you find in a cherem that you don't usually have. Number one, she'enu tzarech lahitzi mipiv. You don't have to say it out of your mouth. Number two, v'shuchal bal korchoi v'shaloi b'fanav. And by the way, even for doyrois habayim, that's another chumah that you have in cherem. For over all of upayresh menat zibur kindine hanidui v'yoyse mehem. If someone's over, he gets put in cherem. In mikra yoytzim deb shutai, that's why it's called a cherem. And here's the punchline: al gabe punchlines, vishu mischayev al of misa lefam. And if it's determined to kill a person because he violated a cherem, das is oichet god. So a cherem is a chiddush nifla. It's an incredible chiddush. What does it mean? Beis Din has a right. A Rabbeinu Gershom or a goyla, or a Yeshua ben Nun, a Melech Yisrael. A leader of Klal Yisrael has the ability to say that this is not just going to be Yasser, it's going to be a Cherem. To the degree that Kol Cherem Asher Yochrem in Adam Lo Yipadem Ha'isumas, that if he wants to kill a person, he can kill somebody. By the way, the Ramban in his Pirush Al HaTorah in Parshas Bechukos, and that pasuk, Kol Cherem Asher Yochrem in Adam Lo Yipadem Ha'isumas, so there's a little bit of a very, very, very abridged version of everything that we're saying is mentioned over there. But the bottom line is that's what the idea of Cherem is. Zokten Oyde B'Yehuda, revisiting the Tshuvas. It would seem pretty clear from the Ramban that a Cherem is a Din Dairaisa, which means that Cherem de Rabbeinu Gershon is a Dairaisa. It's a Dairaisa, changes everything. It's a paradigm shift. You think of Cherem de Rabbeinu Gershon, it was a Takana. No, it's not a Takana, it was a Dairaisa. The Ramban says it's a Dairaisa. It's a din de oiraisa. The Isser for a person to marry a second wife is not an Isser de Rabbanon. It's an Isser de oiraisa. It's aser because it's a cherem, and a cherem is not just an issa deiraisa. It's something that could potentially involve a chiyuv of misa. Kol cherem asher yochrem in adam lo yipadem ha'isumas. Abzoktinoi de Yehuda, that as much as it's mavur, that it's really a din deiraisa, but that was only as long as the cherem was intact. But he says, if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, most poiskim hold, ruba de ruba poiskim hold, that the cherem de Rabbeinu Gershom expired. It expired at the end of the Elef HaChamishi. And he says, so much so that the Mechaber seemed to say that after the Elef HaChamishi, maybe it's mutter to marry a second wife. The Ramah didn't like it. The Ramah said, Mikol Mokoim, the minig is not to. Or Bezok Tinoi de Yehuda, that even though the Ramah said not to marry a second wife even after the end of the Elef HaChamishi, into the Elef HaShishi, oh, but it's not a cherem anymore. And if it's not a cherem anymore, now it's not going to have a din d'orais anymore. At this point, all it's going to have is a din d'rabbanan. So zok tinoi d'Yehuda. Today, cherem is a d'rabbanan. And even though it's true, we just spoke at the Ramban Barichos, that the Ramban holds that cherem is d'orais. It's rooted in a pasuk in the Torah. But at the same time, zok tinoi d'Yehuda, that was as long as the cherem was in play. Even the Ramah that said that you have to worry about the Cherem Derbeinu Gershom into the Elef HaShishi, it's not Midin Cherem. It's Midin Minik Shenagu Yisrael, that you're not supposed to be Mavatal the Minik. But Mitzad the Cherem Shabbat, it's not Negate. L'may Nafkimina? Oh, big time Nafkimina. Is it awesome Aser Reis? Is it awesome Aser Rabban? And if it's Aser Alts the Cherem, then it's going to be awesome Aser Reis. But if it's only Aser Alts, oh, we've always done it, Klal Yisrael, so let's continue to do it, then it's only going to be awesome Aser Rabban. Then it won't be awesome Aser Reis. Zok Tenoy de Yehuda. Let's go back to the Shaila of the Beis Shmuel, this epic Shaila. A Shaila, by the way, that crossed the desk of the Noi Debi Yehuda several times. Kimavur in his Chuvas, where there was a man whose wife went away and she didn't come back and he had no idea where his wife was. These were common Shailas once upon a time. And he's home and he wants to get married and the question is, can he get married or can he not get married? He can't. There's a Cherem Derabbeinu Gershom. And then an Eid Echad walked into Beis Din. It was his lucky day. And the Eid Echad said, you should know, I have a little bit of closure. Your wife died. So the question is, could you accept the Eidus of the Eid Echad? Could you not? So the Beis Shmuel says in Kuf Nun Ches that even though Be'edus Isha Hikilu, and even though if it was in the reverse case where the woman's husband went to Medina Sayyam, we would be Matar Eishas Ish L'Shuk with the Eidus of an Eid Echad. Oh, but when it comes Fakir, to allow this man to get married with the Eidus of an Eid Echad for the Cherem Derabbeinu Gershom, that's not going to be okay. Zok Denoy Debi Yehuda B'Mechilas Kfoy Teirasa Shalom Beis Shmuel. I don't agree with him. He says, you know why? Because today the Cherem Derabbeinu Gershom is only an Issad Rabbana. And even though, like we said, the Rabban holds really it's an Issad Raisa, but that was then. That was until the end of the Elef HaChamishi. But today, it's already an Issad Rabbanon. So today, all it is an Issad Rabbanon. Zok Tenoy de Behuda. Let's pull out our thumbs again. Let's figure out how we done this Shiloh. So an Eid Echad walked into Beis Din and says, this woman died. What is it? It's not a Shiloh of Dinei Mominis. It's not a Shiloh of Dinei Nefashis. It's not even Davish HaBe'erva, like the Beis Shmuel said. What it is Eid Echad Nemen Bisurim. Okay, Eid Echad is Nemen Bisurim. But now when it's a Schazik Yisura, right now it's a Schazik Isser. The reason it's a Schazik Isser is because right now this man is Becheskas, that he's married. As a result, he's also to get married to this woman. So Eid Echad is going to Neged the Chazokah. So Ochtenoy de Yehuda, a whole pilpul, that the only time Eid Echad is not believed, B'mokim is Schazik Yisura, is by Dina de Raisa. But by Dina de Rabbanan, Eid Echad is believe in Malkum Eschazik Yisura. So when it comes to Dina de Rabbana, Eid Echad is believe in Malkum Eschazik Yisura. And Hayin Tzok to Noi de Yehuda, the Cherem de Rabbeinu Gershom is only Nisa de Rabbana, because we're already holding in the Elef HaShishi. So it's going to come out that as it relates to today, there's not going to be a problem. It's going to be a Din de Rabbana, and he said it's going to be mutter for this man to go ahead and be married with the Eidus of an Eid Echad. And then the Noi de Yehuda, just the Ravcha de Milsa, just to put a ribbon on this, he took it one step further. And this is something we've once talked a little bit about, the income of Kami Laharich. He said that he holds that even at the time of the Cherem, it wouldn't have been a problem. Meaning, even if this question happened in the year 1217, even then, where the Cherem was for sure in full force, even then, said the Noi de Yehuda, I would not have had a problem. I would have allowed this man to get married with the Eidus of an Eid Echad. And he says that the reason is because what's the halacha if there's a Safik Cherem? Safik Cherem, what's the halacha? So he says, I know what you're going to tell me. It's a Safik Deiraisa. We just said the Ramban says Cherem is a Deiraisa. Safik Deiraisa is always Lachomra. I have a chiddush that Safik Cherem would go lekula. And the reason is, because the Ramban says that even though the Iker Din of the Cherem is a Din Deiraisa, but it's based primarily on Divrei Kabbalah. The Ramban touched it up in a pasuk in Parshas Bechukosai. But the real pirish of this halacha is in Divrei Kabbalah. And he says, anytime you have a Din Deiraisa that's not mefurish in the Torah, the halacha is misafik you go lekula. This is what he says. And he says, Raya Ladavar, what would be if you have a safik by a halacha l'moshe misinai? This is a raid bite. Safik halacha l'moshe misinai. Would you go lechumra or would you go lekula? Noi de Behuda says, it's pasha to me, you would go lechumra. And you would go lekula. And everybody shries at the Noi de Behuda. It's pasha, you would go lekula. It's pasha, you would go lechumra. How could it be pasha, you would go lekula? But that's what the Noi de Behuda said. So he said, just like when it comes to a safik halacha l'moshe misinai, even though it's a deiraisa, but because it's not mefurish in the Torah, misfeika, you go lekula. So too, if you have a safik when it comes to something that's in Divrei Kabbalah, like a cherem, which is be'ikr, the pirish of everything we know, it's from Achan, it's from the Anshei Yavesh Gilad. So the pirish,
The pirish of it is in different Kabbalah. So this sfeik you would go to kula. So sfeik achem der Rabbeinu Geshem would anyways go to kula. So zoktenay de Yehuda that even though the Beit Shmuel said for a davar pashut that the Ramah paskins that it echad nema bisurim doesn't work with makom eschazik yisura, really Tosis and getting that beis is masupik about it. This is real getting that beis right. But in that beis in the sech is getting its mavur that it's really a safik, and being that it's only a safik and sfeika over here you would go to kula. So I hold that echad would anyways be believed with makom eschazik yisura. But here's the bottom line. The bottom line is that what's a cherim? A cherim is a din d'iraisa. How do we know the Ramban in his Mishpat Acherim and the Ramban in his Pirush al Torah and Parshas Bechul Koisai? He lays out all the chidushim al gabi chidushim of what a cherim is. A cherim is such a chidush that sometimes a person can be chayef misa because of the fact that he violated a cherim. It gives a different punim to the whole cherim de Rabbeinu Gershon. And as it relates to this fascinating question, what would be if a man's wife went to Medina Sayyam, he hasn't heard from her, nowadays Echad comes and says she died? Ishan Shalach Baila Medina Sayyam, that's Eidos Isha. What would be if it was in the reverse case? What emerges is it was a machloikis between the Beis Shmuel and the Noida B'Yehuda. The Beis Shmuel in Kufn and Ches of Katan Aleph says for a Dava Pashet that the halach is it would be more chamer than Isha Shalach Baila Medina Sayyam, as counterintuitive as that is. But the Noida B'Yehuda in Evan Ezer Kama Simon Lam and Gimel, I don't think we mentioned the Chuvas, and in Evan Ezer Tinyana Simon Ches, in those Chuvas and in other Chuvas as well, he argues with the Beis Shmuel. That's Hashem, there's a lot more to talk about in the Cherem de Rabbeinu Gershom. There'll be a part 3 and hopefully a part 4, but we will stop now.